Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest this week is Merhat Sharibjan, senior correspondent here at RFERL. Merhat, thanks for joining me today.
Hi, and thank you very much for inviting me today.
All right, you're welcome. Now, there's been a lot going on in the region around Russia in recent weeks and months. Nagorno-Karabakh, Kyrgyzstan, Belarus, and now a presidential election in Moldova, among other things. But there's also quite a bit happening in Russia. And one thing that's continuing and in fact, getting worse, judging by the numbers, is the coronavirus pandemic. The daily number of new cases has now reached above 22,000 and hit a record high again today, 22,700-something. Of course, the numbers are up in many countries, but I've seen some harrowing reports from Russia, where some of the regions are being hit very hard, it seems, in this second wave. We published one such story over the weekend, or a video with several vignettes based on material from current time that showed, among other things, a paramedic seemingly at her wit's end, essentially imploring hospital staff to admit a 90-year-old woman with COVID-19 symptoms. And then you see, you know, hospital beds, people on cots in the hallways, just overflowing hospital wards. Merhat, you've been covering this situation among many other stories. What's your impression of what's happening now in Russia? Is the government essentially counting on having one of the vaccines that are being developed in Russia ready for wide rollout in the coming months?
Well, talking about the vaccines, there were some reports saying that in Altai Krai, for instance, the region close to East Kazakhstan, people, doctors, physicians who received the vaccinations with the Russian vaccine, they got coronavirus. So it looks like at least several reports said that this vaccine doesn't work so far. It's one thing. Another thing is the situation is so dramatic that a new phrase appeared in hospitals across Russia. There is a special term called "lezhachi bolnoy," a person who needs to treated in the hospital while in bed. Now the new term appeared, calling "sidachi bolnoy," meaning that a person can sit on a chair and stay in a hospital while being treated by the doctors in the hospital. So it shows that the situation is really dramatic. Also, there were some reports.
A formal term that they're now using in order to adjust to the fact that there just aren't enough beds. That's correct.
Yes, that's a formal term. It's a formal term. Sitting patient. Mm-hmm. It meaning that a person not lies on a bed. It means that the beds are not enough. The number of beds
right.
There is a shortage. And people are sitting and receiving treatment while in hospitals. Also, there were many reports across, especially in Siberia, actually, saying that there are many patients who die. There's no way to bring them to morgues because morgues are overwhelmed and they're being kept in the basements of the hospitals. And the situation is really dramatic. Also, the regions close to Siberia, I'm talking now about my native East Kazakhstan region. In Kazakhstan, this in East Kazakhstan region was cordoned, literally cordoned now, because that region is very close to Siberia, and many people have relatives on the other side of the border, and they travel a lot, and it looks like this part of Kazakhstan today is in a very dramatic situation, and people are not allowed to go anywhere, and the restrictions, the most severe restrictions are there. So it looks like the situation is very, very, very crucial and very dramatic, especially in regions far from Moscow, like Siberia, Volga region, and other places.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think I saw Sobyanin or possibly the prime minister saying today, well, you know, there's no nationwide plan, essentially, and things are up to the regions, you know, and that's been done in several countries. But I think it also makes it harder to kind of know what's going on. You have dozens of regions, so it's a little harder to know what's going on. And there's certainly some disturbing reports coming in. Now, I'd like to briefly discuss two things that are going on near Russia, specifically in Belarus and Moldova, which is a little further away, doesn't border Russia. The terms pro-Western and pro-Russian tend to be overused and in some cases are overly simple or simplified. But in Moldova, it seems pretty clear that a pro-Western candidate, pro-EU candidate, Maia Sandu, defeated the pro-Russian incumbent, Igor Dodon. He has warm relations with the Kremlin, with Putin, in a presidential runoff vote yesterday by a substantial margin, I believe about 57%, she received, Maia Sandu. Now, this seems like a blow to the Kremlin. And analysts have said that, as for Belarus, the persistent crackdown by Alexander Lukashenko's forces on protesters who charge that he stole the election in August does not really bode well for the Kremlin, because so far Moscow has supported him, and that risks turning a population that wants warm ties with Russia against Moscow to some degree or other. Now, yesterday, there was a major crackdown again in Belarus with security forces using tear gas and stun grenades and detaining, I believe it's now, more than 1,200 people known to have been detained. Merhat, any thoughts on these developments? I mean, do you think the Kremlin is sort of concerned about what's going on?
I think, yes, especially in terms of Belarus, Moscow is very much concerned about the situation in Belarus, because before the crisis, we knew that Belarusians, in majority of people in Belarus, were very friendly towards Russia. And the Putin's or Kremlin's support expressed to Lukashenko and ongoing protests kind of turns people, many people in Belarus today, are blaming Russia for supporting Lukashenko, who doesn't want to resign. And every day the crackdown is intensifying, which is understandable, because it will go further. It will be even harsher, because it looks like Lukashenko every week, twice a week, he made some statements publicly and threatens to promises harsher measures against protesters, right. And it irritates Russia very much. I think that's my opinion. Sooner or later, Russia will probably reconsider and probably start supporting some would-be potential candidates, presidential candidates like Viktor Babarika or Valery Tsapkala, who openly were pro-Russian but were prevented from taking part in the elections. And Russia has this kind of way to turn the opposition into pro-Russian opposition in future. But it looks like day after day, Russia realizes that this kind of move can be also out of agenda, because ordinary Belarusians are very angry with Russia right now, because and this anger is getting worse day after day. And it looks like there was a promise by Lukashenko to Kremlin to take care of the situation and have everything under control in the short term. He's not making it's not possible for Lukashenko, and it makes Kremlin very nervous.
Right. He hasn't been able to do that. And it's possible that both he and Moscow are surprised at the resilience, I guess, of the Belarusian protesters and people. And as you say, I mean, almost every day things are happening that potentially undermine Russia's chances of having, of having a voice or having a voice that is respected and sort of honored among a large proportion of the Belarusian people. And you had recently this man, Roman Bondarenko, was, you know, reportedly died after reportedly being beaten, according to witnesses. And, you know, that sparked a huge outpouring of kind of grief and anger at Lukashenko and the security forces. And now this big crackdown yesterday. So, I do agree. I think, you know, it's potentially undermining Russia's depriving it of some of the influence and some of the levers it might have in the future. And I do think they have, as you say, I think the Kremlin has been casting out, looking for alternatives. It's not, it's not like wedded to Lukashenko, I guess. But you know, again, I think this is being undermined by what's going on. All right, we're running out of time. We're going to have to wrap it up for today. Merhat, thanks very much for joining me today.
Oh, thank you very much for inviting me.
All right, I'll be back next Monday with another edition of The Week Ahead in Russia. Meanwhile, please keep an eye out on Friday for my Week in Russia newsletter. Thanks for listening.